time up with it, you know, we've been going through looking at business on kids recently, and that's not, you know, typically we don't get excited about looking at business, right? But, you know, you remind yourself of all of the old law, it kind of puts in perspective the things that are done in the New Testament. When you read the law, you realize that this woman, the entire time she had this issue of blood, is in a state of ceremonial uncleanness. She was unclean, and yet Jesus allowed her to touch him, which reminds us that although God cannot fellowship with sin, there is none of our sin that is too big for him to be able to take care of. He's not worried that he's not going to be able to take care of it. Like, he can't handle it. The Lord is able to take care of all of those things. So I appreciate the witness that God gives us in that. Page 77. Silver plate is a flower photo. And then when they come back through, that will be offering to help our youth with their trips and events and things. So keep that in mind. And Brother Jesse, would you pray with the offering for us?
Of course, we continue to say thank you, promise to do the same. From the motion to grant the order, please, to thank you, call from the youth, for the ability to book in.
May 25th, that is the day before Memorial Day, but so everybody remember that. appreciate what given those things from the board too. So who's got a request from her this morning about what they're doing?
According to the newsletter, we missed an anniversary.
Oh, whose anniversary did we miss? Oh, so Ms. Alvin, Ms. Connie's here. I said, yeah, go ahead, Ms. Connie, stand up and say happy anniversary to your brother Ranger. I hate that he's not getting to be here, but you can tell him we sung for y'all.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
Amen. We definitely appreciate that too. And may the Lord give y'all many more of those as well. Amen. So do remember these that are coming up. Remember our camping rallies the last Wednesday of May, is that right? Last Wednesday of May, and that will be down about an hour or so. So do remember that. I pray that God will bless in that and the camping for each of these men to come. And remember that people are gathering on every Monday now, 7 o'clock at, is it at Avis? Avis Chapel. So if you can manage to get free, I know that will be a blessing to go and help pray about the camping. So who's got a request for prayer over the next week? Amen. The Lord sees all these. I know there were several mentioned this morning. Continue to remember Brother Fred. I think he fell again this morning. Is he okay?
Yeah, he hurt his knees. Said he went to get up, slid out of the recliner, get to his knees to stand back up. But he laid out about 4 hours before he called him back.
Oh, my goodness. We got determination everywhere. That's what I'm saying.
He said he tried everything. He just couldn't get it.
Amen. So continue to remember Brother Fred. Appreciate the Lord helping him to where he was not hurt. Appreciate Preacher Billy and Miss Vivian getting to be back with us again this morning. Y'all just continue to remember them, that the Lord would help them. Appreciate the Lord helping Miss Brenda with her eyes. She said, well, in a few days she was cleared up. So we appreciate that. And also, as mentioned this morning, the Lord helped Brother Quinn. His ball joint folded up on him, but he was just getting ready to pull out of the place. He wasn't, you know, going 50 miles an hour down the road. So really appreciate the Lord watching out for him on that. Continue to remember Miss Barbara. I guess, is she doing okay? Good. And who was you were talking about this morning, that the biopsy and the cancer? Okay. Friday. Pray that God would let that turn out the way it needs to be. You know, that's really what I've been praying on the Lord, just that what it needs to be, what it needs to be. He knows better than I do. Obviously, I know what I want. I want to look and not bring nothing else, right? But, you know, but really, you know, I know God knows better than I do. So just continue to pray for that situation. Who else has got a request you want to make mention of this morning?
Remember my sister-in-law, she had a biopsy Friday of her thyroid. Remember that? And then my brother had an ultrasound Thursday, and they found a mass that may be suspicious on his kidney, so he's got to have a CT scan, so just pray for that.
Okay.
Both of them's got stuff going on at the same time. So.
Yeah, amen. And speaking of which, I don't want to miss this. Brother Tommy got some real good news on some test results this morning. We just really thank the Lord. You know, we don't just come in and ask for stuff, right? If we just come in and ask and never say nothing else, God can get a whole lot of glory out of that. But I believe God praising when when those prayers are answered. So really appreciate the Lord moving in this stuff.
Did you remember Timmy on, please? He has the one through his treatments. He's doing pretty good, though. I mean, he seems like he's feeling a lot better than he was. But he goes in June for pretty extensive surgery. I think they're going to down Baptist. I think it'll be like an all-day surgery. So.
Okay. Amen. Remember this.
My sister Shirley, she's battling cancer again.
Okay.
So pray for her, please.
Amen. Amen. Remember this one. Yes, and I'm sorry, I cannot remember what it is. Okay, okay. Amen. Remember this. All right, that's all. Stop and pray.
Or whatever. So if anybody wants to sign up, you can go with us. We'll have a good time. What a blessing. I'm glad that it is full.
Yeah.
And it's a good ministry. You know, Nick was saying that him and Cole would not go with us. And I said, that'd be a blessing. You come on, go with us. And I said, he said, I got a week of vacation, so I can make it. I said, yeah. I said, well, that'd be a good vacation to take. I said, no cost you, you know. I said, you got food and water. He said, no cost you. I said, well, church pays for it. And he said, you know, he was excited about that, to be able to go and do that. And I just want to remind us all of that, that if you want to go, it's not going to cost you anything. I mean, the church pays for it. You know, you pay your tithes, and we together work together to do this. It is a mission field to do that. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if I could, Levin and Jaylee, would y'all stand up? Stand up for me. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. These two last year at camp, Lord spoke to their heart, convicted them of sin, and they gave the heart and life to the Lord and asked God to save them.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to tell you right now, we could send all the money we could to the Philippines or wherever in the world, but have two within this building and see them come to know the Lord. Hey, I'm going to tell you, that's, you can't put a price tag on that.
That's right. Amen.
And I'm thankful for that. I appreciate y'all standing up. Thank y'all so much for the cooperation. You can sit down. I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all being faithful. And I wish you could have just been there. I wish you could have just seen it. This little girl got up there and she just cried and cried and cried at the altar, just thanking God. And, just to see the transformation that began to take place in her life in 11, she slipped through the crowd. That was a bunch at the altar that morning. She was small enough, she could get up there, you know. 11, he was kind of stuck back there. And, he just made do with what he had. And that before he got down on the floor, he had his head come up under that chair in front of him. And he was just praying. And I went over there praying with him. He wasn't waiting on me. He had business to do with God. Amen. He was praying. I thank God for that. And that's a blessing. But if you want to go with us, the sign up sheet will be back there. So my wife's going to get a new one wrote up. And she'll put one back there. And you can sign up, go with us. We'll have a good time up there going and worshiping. And just love the atmosphere up there. It's a blessing. Remember to be praying about camp meeting coming up. In years past, we've had a good time. We worship together. I've seen God do great things. I've seen God move. But he doesn't owe us that.
Right.
That is in response to the prayer of saints. Folks praying. The same way when someone's healed, the same way when anything happens, when mountains are moved, it is in response to God's people praying. Amen?
Yeah.
And so let's be sure to pray about camp meeting this year. It'd be a blessing if you pray and just continue to pray and ask God to move. And if you're able to, meet us over at Amy's Chapel. I plan on going tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And if you're able, meet us over there, we'll pray together. Miss Vivian, who's going to sing with you this morning? All right, well, good. Well, y'all start coming on up this way. And look forward to that. I'm glad that she's able, amen. I'm glad she's willing, you know. She said that she's been a while since she got up there. I said it's about time then, amen. But we appreciate them being willing. We appreciate them having the ability and wanting to sing. And I love this family. I appreciate them. You know, I appreciate good and faithful men and women that has come along before me and you and has laid a good foundation for us to follow, amen. Ain't you glad we didn't have to figure this out all on our own, amen. Hey, I believe God's good enough that he loved me, and I believe this, that it's all his doing, but I'm glad that he put people in my life that love God. I'm glad he put men like Preacher Billy Mace, like my grandpa, like Ken Frady in my life, that loved God, that I could look up to, and that I didn't have to guess about things. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, continue in the things you've learned from good and faithful men. We've got some good and faithful men and women that we can look up to, and I appreciate it. I appreciate y'all being willing to sing. Go ahead.
Hey.
I thank the Lord for staying good. Thank you for the Lord for me. thank you for having been really so forward. We're struggling, but we're getting there, like I'll tell you. So just pray for us. I also appreciate my family.
Amen.
They have all been good to me and Billy since we've been sick. They took care of us and took us where we needed to go, done for us, and I just love it.
Amen.
I may not ever be.
because it has been put there by the Lord Jesus Christ. Matter of fact, there was other writings, the Bible says, that were against me, that were contrary to me, and the Lord took it out of the way. Amen. He made that possible because he died. Not only did he die to pay the debt that I owed, but he lives. Amen. Because he was righteous and he is righteous. And there was no grave that had power over him because death had not power over him because of who he was. And I thank God for that. If you have your Bibles this morning, let's turn to the Revelation. We're going to start Revelation chapter 19. And I'm going to work my way backwards as I often do. I'm dyslexic. How can you help it, y'all? But in any case, I've told you that the Revelation, you know, after chapter 3, we see that in chapter 4, John is told, come up hither. So he is getting a view from heaven where time does not exist as we understand it. And so we can understand that Revelation, going from chapter 4 through here to chapter 19, is not necessarily in chronological order. It is somewhat in chronological order, but it does go back and forth, and some things are happening at different times. And in order to get the whole understanding of that, we go to other places in the Bible where these things were prophesied about. So since y'all are standing, just to keep y'all from having to stand, let me go ahead and read what I'm going to read. I'm going to pray, then I'll finish my introduction there. But let's begin in verse number 7, and we'll start reading there. The Bible says this, let us be glad and rejoice, give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Amen. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, right blessed are they which are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, know thy brethren, that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. He that sat upon him was called faithful and true, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. Father, I thank you for your word, and pray God that you'd add your blessing to the reading and the preaching hour. Lord, I pray God that you'd open me up and preach me as only you can, Father. May it be you that speaks here this morning, God, that you'd allow us to hear your word, be edified, grow us in knowledge and truth. Lord, I pray that you bring conviction to our hearts and draw us near to you, Lord. It's in Jesus Christ's name we ask. Amen. Thank you for standing. We've been going through eschatology. If you've not been with us, and just to get you caught up, that just simply means the study of end times prophecy. We're talking about end times prophecy. We've been going through this for, I don't know, 6 or so weeks. I don't remember. But we've been trying to just, you know, rush through it, not necessarily getting super deep into it, but giving us an intermediate, you might say, understanding of end times prophecy. And just to give you a little bit of a timeline here, we started talking about the rapture of the church and how that we're going to see signs leading up to the rapture of the church. That's where we're at right now. And the next thing that will happen is the church will be raptured. That is, the Bible says, the first resurrection. The dead will raise first. Those that are in Christ will come out of the graves. Those bodies will be changed. And they will be given glorified bodies. Yes. Those of us that are alive, that are saved, will go up and meet them in the air. Following that, this Antichrist figure will come into power. And he will be a world leader. And at the same time, we see these horsemen arrive. And the first one we see, the Bible says that he is on a white horse. If we go back to Revelation chapter 6, doing as Satan always does, and trying to mimic God, trying to act as if he is God and do the things that he knows God would do. And so we see this rider come on a white horse that is not Christ in chapter 6. If you go back to chapter 6, and I can go back and I can read that very quickly just to give us an idea of what we're talking about here. In Revelation chapter 6, It says this, he says, when he saw him open one of the seals, he says that there was thunder in verse 2 of chapter 6. He said, I saw a whole white horse. And he could set him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. He's talking about that Antichrist coming into power. And as those seals are open, and the only one worthy to open those seals was the Lamb, if you remember that. So we understand this is part of God's plan, amen. This is not Satan's plan, this is God's plan, amen. And so we see that as God's plan is unfolding, that there's famines, there's pestilences going into the first half of this tribulation. And we also see that there's many that will be saved during the first half of this tribulation. And there's many that will go on to take that mark that the beast will deem people to have in order to buy and sell and trade because they're having a famine and they're in a crisis during the world. Yeah. And so they need this one world government. They need this system. But those that take that mark are condemned by that mark. And those that do not is only because of their faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
We understand that there will be two witnesses that God calls to do great and wonderful works, the miracles, and that they will be around for that first half of the tribulation. The midpoint of that tribulation being the time when they are finally slain and their bodies are also resurrected. There will also be 144,000 that will not meaning the only people that will ever be saved,
right,
but meaning the ones that will be of the Jews, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of Israel.
Yeah.
We call, and we believe that they will probably be preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
Because, for one, it says that they are virgins, that they've never been with a woman, and that these are called from men. And that word in the Greek is talking about men as in man and not mankind. And so to be that they are called from men, specifically, we believe that they will probably be preaching the gospel to the world at that time. The Bible says that there will be people of all nations, tongues, and kindreds that will be slain and martyred and persecuted for their faith during that tribulation time. The midpoint of that tribulation. That tribulation. I know some of y'all, we've already been over this. If you want to write a timeline, you can, but we got some visitors and stuff here. We're going to get everybody caught up together. Amen? I don't want to get into this without everybody being on the same page. I can talk fast if you can listen fast. Amen?
Yeah.
But listen, so at the midpoint, we see that the two prophets are slain, that the 144,000, before God begins to release his wrath, they receive a seal to be sealed. We see that Israel, because it is coming under attack, and because that they are being persecuted so greatly, that God takes them and hides them for the remainder of the tribulation period. We see that this Antichrist not only says that he is the same as other gods, but now he is claiming to be higher than any other god. And he goes in and he desecrates the temple of God there in Jerusalem. And at that point is when God begins to pour out his wrath upon the earth. We talked about that. We talked about the judgments that will happen during the second half of the tribulation period. And all of that will culminate and lead up to this point to where that people have begun to hate Israel so much, and they will blame Israel and the God of Israel for all of the things that have come upon the world. The Bible says that they would not repent, that they repented not of their deeds, neither were they sorry in any way. And now we have got to the point where it is the end of the tribulation period. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. That's what I want to preach on. And this is the thought and this is the title. If you wanted to write it down, and for those of you that are taking notes, it would be this: the marriage supper of the Lamb and the battle of Armageddon. That's what I want to preach on this morning. And the only reason is because the marriage supper of the Lamb is great. I could preach on it. We could go into it. But I am excited about talking about the battle of Armageddon. I'm excited about preaching on that this morning. And that's just where my heart is. That's where the Lord talked to me. That's where the Lord's brought me to. But we have to go over this marriage supper of the Lamb in order to get there. Amen. And so, if you're not excited this morning, can I say that you should be?
Amen. Yeah.
If you're a Christian, amen, if you're not excited about hearing about what's going to happen, amen, you should be. It is a blessed thing. It's a wonderful thing. Let me just refresh your memory. Let me just tell you what we're coming out of here. Now, let me say this. First of all, before there will be this marriage supper, there will be a second resurrection that will take place before battle of Armageddon and before the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Yeah.
We can read about this in chapter number 14 of Revelation. And he says this, it says in chapter 14 and verse number 14, he says, "And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and upon the cloud one sat like unto the Son of Man, having on his head a golden crown, and in his hand a sharp sickle. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him that sat on the cloud, and thrust in thy sickle and reap, for the time is come for thee to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he that sat on the cloud thrust in his sickle on the earth, and the earth was reaped. And another angel came out of the temple which is in heaven, and he also having a sharp sickle. And another angel come out from the altar which had power over fire, and cried with a loud cry to him that had the sharp sickle, saying, Thrust in thy sharp sickle, and gather the clusters of the vine of the earth, for her grapes are fully ripe. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth, and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress, even unto the horses' bridles, about the same the space of 1,600 furlongs." And so we can see there that as it is given this example that we're reading here, that it's telling us that there was a harvest of people upon earth. And now there's one that come in to harvest, and he come in to gather the fruit. And there's another that come in to gather the vines and the things, the branches that were no good, that were not fruitful, the things that were intended to be burned. And we see that he cast them, it says, into the winepress of God's wrath, and that it was pressed out, and that the blood ran out, and it says, up to the horses' bridles. Now we know that that is talking about the battle of Armageddon, and we're going to get there in just a minute, and we're going to compare that, what we just read, to some scripture we're going to read in chapter 19 in just a moment. But first of all, understand and know this, that there will be a reaping that will take place. And then in chapter 19, we get to this point to where that John sees this vision. And let me back up and read in verse 1. And this is what he says as he begins to praise God. He says, "After these things I heard a great voice, much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up forever and ever. And the 24 elders and the four beasts fell down and worshipped God that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Hallelujah. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunder, and saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Says, Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Right blessed are they which are called with the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he says to him, Do not worship me. He says, See thou do it not, I am thy fellow servant. And of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus, worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. He says, Blessed are those that are called to this marriage supper of the Lamb. You have heard about the marriage supper of the Lamb. You say, When is that going to happen? When is that going to be? And I'm going to tell you, that's going to be right before he comes back to conquer. You know why? Because he's going to clothe us in fine linen. Now, I will say this, that before this point even happens, before there is even a marriage supper of the Lamb, there are already white cloaks that are given to those that have been born again. We read that before. But now he says that there will be fine linen. You know what it is? It's wedding garments. Amen? You get it there, and you're already given a white garment. You know why you're given a white garment? Amen? Because they Let them drive. You ain't gonna worry about nobody shrinking it. Amen. Hey, whenever he gives you this, it is never going to be stained. You can wear this white, and it'll never receive another stain, because there is nothing up there that could stain it. Amen. And guess what? When you get back down here, we're going to get into that later, talking about that millennial reign. There's not going to be nothing that can stain it then either.
Yeah.
But now he's giving them an even better cloak than that. See, he cloaked them in white because he said, you know what? They've been paid for. They've been bought. These are my children. These are my brothers. And these are my sisters. Amen? Well, guess what? Let me tell you something. If you don't know, you got a close relationship with your brothers and sisters, I would hope. Amen?
Yeah.
And you got a close relationship with the children.
Yeah.
Praise God. I thank God for my children.
Yes,
little arrows in my quiver.
Yeah.
That's a blessing, man, Preacher Billy. But Preacher Billy, you can testify to this. They ain't nothing, they ain't no, on earth, with earthly mankind, they ain't no greater relationship than that to me and my wife. Ain't that right, Preacher? Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. Amen.
Yeah.
That me and my wife, the Bible says you two are one flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. That's what the Bible says. And those two are joined together. Those two are equals. Amen. The Bible might say that I'm supposed to lead and be a leader, but it doesn't say that I'm more important than she is.
Right, amen.
The Bible says that we two are one, amen.
Yeah.
That means that if I make a dollar, that's her dollar, amen.
Yeah.
That means that if I do make a decision, because God has called me to lead, then it affects her just as much as it does me.
Yes, yes.
Amen. And I ask her, honey, how do you feel about this? What do you think about this? And it's not as if she tells me what to do. She don't. She doesn't at all. But you know why? Because she's a humble woman. Amen?
Yeah.
And you know why? Because I know where my place is. And we want to follow God.
Yes.
Well, we butt heads sometimes because that happens. We butt heads a lot, you know, because that happens. Mostly because I'm stubborn. Sometimes because she's stubborn. But nevertheless, it happens. But to be honest, you know, we are one flesh.
Yeah.
If something hurts her, Preacher, it hurts me.
Yes.
If she's hurt, I'm hurt.
Yes, sir.
You ever hear this say? They say when a woman's pregnant, that a man will have symptoms of it. Amen. You know what? I believe that's true. I do. You know why? Because we two are one flesh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how science could explain that. When she's feeling sick, I'm feeling sick. Hey, you know what? Before she even got pregnant, I was already showing. That's the truth. It's good to laugh for me. But we two were one flesh. Because we were joined together, amen. That's why, you know, we shouldn't ever take a wedding lightly.
Yes.
That's a holy matrimony. That's that is the greatest service you will ever attend in your life.
Yes.
Is the service where you're married at. It is something to be taken very seriously in high regard.
Yeah.
Because of what's happening, because of what God's doing. He's joining two people together.
Yeah.
And guess what? When we get to heaven, he's going to say, this is my children. Get them rags off my kids. Put them on something decent to wear. Amen?
Yeah.
My little youngins, sorry if he could, he'd come to church every Sunday in some kind of play clothes. Matter of fact, a lot of times he wears play clothes under his church clothes so he can strip down as soon as he walks out the door. So he don't got to worry about getting dirty. But he come to the house of God, and I'd say, get them clothes off that youngin. I said, we got better stuff now. Now, you know, if I didn't have nothing better for him to wear, it wouldn't matter.
Right.
But I got nice clothes for him to wear. I said, you know, get him on some decent clothes. I wouldn't want him dressed in rags. If it's wintertime, we was talking about this in Sunday school this morning. If it's wintertime and it's cold outside, I don't want to run around barefoot with no shirt on. And then if I can, I'm a daddy. I want to clothe them in something that's worthy, something that's fitting to the atmosphere that they're in.
Yeah.
When we get up there, he's going to say, what they got on ain't worth it to be. Just get them something that matches the atmosphere. These are my children. Amen.
Yeah.
And then, while we might spend a lot of money on clothes for our kids, probably most of y'all, the most expensive garment you ever bought was a wedding dress. Amen. Or you might have rented it. If you're poor like me, I think we borrowed ours. But, you know, if you can afford it, you probably bought one, and it was probably the most expensive garment you ever bought. I ain't talking about collectible tennis shoes and anything else. But it cost some, right? You know why? Because it was special, because that's something that's supposed to be more elegant and designed better and have more prominence than any other thing you're ever going to wear the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Matter of fact, I know a lot of you ladies, you probably try to go down a size or two before you even, you buy one a size too small a year before the wedding and say, I'm going to fit into this thing. I've heard a lot of them do that. You know, they say that. It shouldn't matter, you know. But in any case, you know, that's just the way women are. They want to, you know, they get it in their head. Like, women do the same thing in different ways.
Yeah.
But in any case, whenever we go to that marriage supper, it's not just that we've got on clothes for the occasion of being his children, his brothers and sisters, but he says, this is my bride. They are now going to be part of me. Not as if we're going to have a husband-wife relationship as we do here,
right,
but in the sense of that spiritual relationship that he's going to say, we are the children of God, just as he is. We are as he is. Amen? Now, that's hard for me to understand. That's hard for me to grasp. Now, he'll still be Lord and King.
Yeah.
You don't get to be king, amen? Right? But in the same sense, we are still going to be counted, and it's the same with the angels, amen? The Bible says that they will worship, amen? That they will regard us as somebody that's regarding him. I'm talking about beings that are in heaven right now that you and I couldn't even imagine seeing. You know why? Because in that day we're going to be given a wedding garment. We're going to be brought to this marriage supper, and we're going to be joined to him. And he's got a place prepared for you and I that we can be joined to him. Now, before that, I was just talking about this. And he said this. He said that they were praising God and saying hallelujah. And it said in verse 2, he said, for true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great lords, did corrupt the earth with their fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. Now he's talking about that new Babylon. And it's compared to a great whore, is what the Bible says. And as he's pouring out these vials of wrath in chapter 15, and then in chapter 16, then we get to chapter 17. And at the end of that, he talks about Babylon. Now, some people have said that this could even be America, this great city that causes the earth to join in her fornication. I'm not going to say that it is. I'm not going to say that it isn't. Some people said it's going to be a resurrected kingdom of Babylon, literally Babylon. I'm not going to say that it is. I'm not going to say that it isn't. All I know is this, is that there will be a great city. And it will be likened unto Babylon of the Old Testament, and that in this city, that or it could be a city, it could be a nation. That this city or this nation, it will represent all of the unholiness and ungodliness of the world, and that the world, the rest of the world, is going to gravitate towards this. That this is going to be a place and a city that is going to be approved of by the Antichrist and by the religion that he is promoting. We know that he is a religious individual. It's going to be all about fornication. It's going to be all about pleasing the flesh, doing whatever feels good to the flesh, doing whatever makes this flesh happy. You disregard whatever God says, disregard whatever the Word of God says. Don't pay any of that any attention. Do what you want. Do what makes you feel good. Do whatever makes you happy. That is the sentiment of this city. I can see that in America right now. I can see that in other parts of the world right now. That it's very evident that that is a spirit that is out there in the world. But in chapter 19, after that he judges this great city, I forgot to write this out. He's going to judge this city. And as he judges this city, and as he casts this city down, in chapter number 19, this is what it says about the judgment that he brings against this city, destroyed this city. It says, for true and righteous are his judgments, verse 2 of chapter 19, for he hath judged the great whore, that's Babylon, that new Babylon, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And it says, and again they said, hallelujah, and her smoke went up forever and ever. And then he goes on to talk about the marriage supper, but he's giving praise to God. Why? Because God's judgments are just and true.
Yeah.
Amen. And can I say that this morning, that God's judgments are just and true?
Yeah.
And can I say this, that he is a merciful God?
Yeah.
Amen. I'm glad that he's not just, but he's also merciful. If he was just, then I'd be in hell right now.
Yep.
If he was just, and that's it, then we'd all be in hell right now.
Yes.
But he's also merciful, and he loves me, and he loves you, and so he saved us from condemnation by his grace. Now, to get to where we're going to this morning, I want to say this. And I read this in chapter 19, verse 11. And this takes place after this marriage supper. He says, "And I saw heaven open, behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were like as a flame of fire, and his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Now, as he goes to make war, it says that he comes on a white horse. And as before, we see the contrast of the Antichrist coming on a white horse. So the bow was given to him. He went forth conquering and to conquer. It says here that he comes, and he comes in righteousness to judge and make war. Amen. He's not having to conquer anything. It already belongs to him.
Yeah.
He's coming to drive out the invaders is what he's doing. He's coming in righteousness. He's not coming to prove anything. He's coming to judge. He is the judge. It says his eyes are as a flame of fire. Hey, I want to tell you, when he comes back to this earth to make war, it's not going to be as he come the first time. He's not going to be riding on a donkey in the town with humility. He's not going to be coming back as a baby, helpless. He's not coming back to be a sacrifice that remaineth, no more sacrifice for sins. He already done it once. It can't be done again when that blood was shed. Amen. It was shed for me. It was shed for you. And there was something supernatural that happened that has surpassed anything that could ever happen in this universe again. The precious Son of God gave his life and bled for you and I. And guess what? That gesture is honored in heaven today. It'll be honored forevermore. Hey, what did I tell you about them cloaks we're wearing? It says they're white. And it says that they're fine linen. Guess what? They'll never stain. They'll never have nothing on them. You know why? Because stain represents a shame. It represents something that's been a mistake. It represents if you get a stain on your shirt, if I'm eating a hot dog, if I stain somehow, I always end up right here. They never make it to my lap. They used to get on my pants. Nothing gets on my pants no more. Somehow or another, it all ends up right here. People know I'm fat. It's hard to hide in fat when you search stop staying right here. He should barely keep making it no further. But in any case, it's embarrassing. Oh man, my fat belly didn't pop over a piece of mustard. You know? It is, it's embarrassing. You know, nobody likes to have a stain on a shirt or a stain on a tie or a stain on something, you know.
Yeah.
It is. It's embarrassing, you know. It makes you a little bit ashamed, you know. It does me. Don't point out my stains on my shirt. Golly. You know, just let it slide. But in any case, we see here that when Jesus comes back, what does it say about his garment? It said it was dipped in blood.
Yeah.
You know why? Because that ain't no shame for him. Amen. That's the proudest thing that anybody could ever have. That's the banner of victory. That's the flag that he's going to come waving in and charging with. When they see that one coming leading that army, and his vesture's been dipped in blood. You remember after he rose out of that grave, he went and he seen the disciples, and he told Thomas, he said, "See my nail pierced hand." He said, "Stick your hand in my side. Hey, them scars are still there. Hey, you know why? Because them ain't scars. The same thing ain't scars of a mistake that's made. He didn't fall off a skateboard doing something foolish, amen. He said, "I have power to lay my body down, and I have power to raise it up again." Yeah. Hey, there wasn't but one that had the power to take his life. and that was he himself, because he gave it for you and I. And when he comes back, and he comes back as a king, amen, and he's on that horse, and he says that there's going to be those that are clothed in fine linen, not just in white cloaks, but those that have been to that marriage supper, he's going to say, hey, you're with me now, we two are one, where I go, you go with me. Let's go down here. You see this bunch of crowd that's invaded my city? We're going to drive them out.
Amen.
And he comes back. And he comes back in righteousness. And it says that on his vesture there's a name, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Last time they had a title applied to him was when he was on that cross as a sign hung up. It said in three different languages. It said that he was Jesus, King of the Jews. What a small little people. You ever looked at Israel on a map? It's a tiny little country. We got states that's bigger than Israel.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just a tiny little place. That's what they accredited him with. King of the Jews. And they kind of done it just to mock him anyway. But he's coming back, and he's got a title in him.
Yeah.
He says he's the King of Kings.
Amen.
Amen.
And the Lord of Lords. Yep. Amen.
Amen.
Ain't nobody putting him on the cross no more.
That's right.
Ain't nobody going to vote for Barabbas over him no more. Ain't going to be no vote, amen.
That's right.
Bible says every knee's going to bow, every tongue's going to confess. Now we talked about how that during that time when he comes that people are going to try to hide from him. We read that in Isaiah in chapter 2. You can go back and you can read that. What I want to read real quick to you is out of Zechariah chapter 14. Zechariah chapter 14. This is what the Bible says. In verse 1 it says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and thy spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee, for I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravaged, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. Then shall the Lord go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle, and his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. And there shall be a very great battle. And half the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south. Now, if you was to go and you was to look at the Mount of Olives, first of all, let me say this for those of you who might not know this. Jesus, after he was resurrected from the dead, and that tomb, that stone was rolled away at that tomb, and he come out after 3 days, he spent 40 days here with the disciples, and then afterwards, he left and he ascended back to heaven. Now, the place from where he ascended to was at the top of the Mount of Olives.
Yes.
Is what the Bible tells us. And so it says here that the day when he comes back, he'll come back from the same place and return to the same place from whence he left. And that is the Mount of Olives, what the Bible says here.
Yes.
Now it says that the mountain in that day, when he comes back and he comes down that mountain, that it's going to cleave, meaning it's going to separate from east to west, is the way that the fault line is running. Yes. And it says that part of it's going to go toward the north, and part of it's going to go toward the south. Yes. Now, get this. So in the entire world, there's but very few fault lines that run east to west. Most fault lines run south to north, north to south, whichever way we want to say it. Very few of them run east to west. You go out and look at California, out there where all the fault lines is, pull up the map, and you'll see that there's some small ones that are connected to some of the large ones, but most of them are running north to south, right? This is another thing. Most fault lines are running through valleys. Very rarely does a fault line go up on a peak, and it never goes up to the highest peak in the area or the region, okay? It most of the time goes through, you know, just over a little tiny hill or something like that, because fault lines follow valleys, right? That means extends, that's the place where the earthquake happens. When I say fault line, that's the place where the earth does this. It goes, you know, it opens up. That's the fault line. I don't know, I'm not a scientist or a geologist, but the crust does some of this stuff. It opens up, right? Well, on the Mount of Olives, there is a fault line that runs east to south going through the peak of that mountain. The only mountain that is that high in relation to the other mountains in the region that has a fault line going east to west and running through the peak. The only mountain in the world. And before any geologist could ever figure this out, God said this in His Word.
Yeah.
You can trust this Word.
Yeah.
Amen. And so when He says this, and this is in the Old Testament, Zechariah prophesies this, and He says this, He says that it will retreat to the north and to the south is where it will go. And then He says this, and I'm going to skip just a little bit, and it says in verse 9, it says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day shall there be one Lord, and His name one. And the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Riblah, south of Jerusalem. And it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from the first gate to the corner gate. It says, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. Meaning that little piece of land that they've allotted Israel to be their land is going to grow. And God's going to give them back the land that He promised them. Amen. And it says this. It says, and the men shall dwell in it. And there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And this is what it says in verse 12, listen. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold every one of the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor, and Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and the wealth of all the heathen round about shall be gathered together, gold and silver and apparel in great abundance, and so shall be the plague of the horse, of the mule, of the camel, and of the ass, and of all the beasts. There shall be these tents as this plague. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left of all the nations that come up against Jerusalem shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. So it says this, that the armies that are around about Jerusalem there, he says that they're going to come. He says they're going to be bound. He says he's going to come back. But that mountain's going to split open. We know from Isaiah that they're going to be hiding in the clefts of the rocks. We know the walls are going to go out of Zion. And we know that there's going to be a plague that falls upon mankind that says that their flesh will just melt off of their bones while they stand upon their feet. It says that their eyes will consume away in their sockets as they stand upon their feet. It says that their tongues will melt within their mouths while they're still there in the battle. This is how overwhelming the victory that God will have over this sinful world when He comes back.
Yes.
It's not going to be like a movie. It's not going to be as if He's coming back and He's having to fight some dragon. He's coming back and He's going to have a sword.
Yeah.
It's going to be coming out of His mouth.
Yeah.
You know what it is? It's His Word.
Yeah.
He's the, you know what he, guess how this world got made?
Right.
He didn't craft this thing out of hollow clay. He spoke it into existence.
Yes. Amen.
If He can speak this into existence, then guess what He can do? He can conquer His enemies absolutely.
Yes.
Amen.
Through just speaking to them. Now I'm about done. But He says this, going back to Revelation chapter 19. He says this. Verse 17 says, and I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together into the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, which had deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth, and all the fowl were filled with their flesh. I like how that it says that it tells us, if you start there in verse 11, and just to read down through verse 18 or verse 19, in those verses, it's telling us all about, it's building up to something, right? It says that he saw heaven open, and here comes this king, and he's crowned, and he's riding on a horse, and the armies of heaven are riding with him. He's got a vesture, it's dipped in blood. He's waving his war flag as he's coming in, and his great army's coming with him, and he's coming to conquer. And it says that he's got a title on him. It says King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and you're thinking, well, what's going to happen? And it says that he saw angels say, come and call the fowls there. He called the hawks. He called the buzzards. He called the crows in. And he said, come and be filled with the flesh of kings. He said, come and be. Can you imagine? How crazy would they think somebody be? If you imagine just watching a crazy movie. As crazy as that stuff gets. If you send somebody out there calling for the birds, say, come eat the flesh of kings and of princes and captains. I'm going to feed you with their bodies. But that's what's going to happen. Yeah. It's building up to something. Yeah. It sounds like it's about to be very climatic, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because he's coming. And then this is what it says. It says, and he saw the beast. Oh, here it comes. And the kings of the earth, in verse 19. And their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. So here they come out and they're gathering together. And all those armies are coming together. And here they are and they're ready to battle. They say, bring it on. But then in verse number 20 it says, and the beast was taken.
Yeah.
Kind of anticlimactic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Seems like it wasn't that hard of a thing to do after all.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot of fighting went on, was there, preacher? They've seen him come when he's coming down out of the clouds. Now, I imagine that they're probably marching up that Mount of Olives. They know where he's coming. They get there, the armies of the world is surrounding this place. And they're marching, they say, we'll do what we want, and we're about to do away with you, and everything you got to do with, and we got it our way. The church is gone, we're not really a bunch of Christians. Don't know what happened, but maybe this spirit years ago. You know what, we about got rid of Israel, we got rid of them, we killed them two witnesses, we killed them two that was breathing fire, causing them plagues, we got rid of them. And Israel's hiding from us for the last 3.5 years. But we found them, and we're about to get rid of the last of them. And we're going to get rid of you too. And then it says that that mountain opens up. And then it says that their flesh melts away, and they're consumed. And then it says that this beast is taken. And then it says that the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, in verse 21, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls of the air filled their flesh. That sword that comes out of his mouth, that's the word of God. That's what the Bible says that is.
Amen.
He is the word. Amen. This King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, that he is the word of God, and he's just going to speak, and it's going to happen. The Bible said that he's going to reign with a rod of iron. He said, he treadeth the winepress, the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
Hey.
Understand this, that God is a merciful God.
Amen.
And why mercy may be found, or to seek it.
Yes.
Because he's also a God of justice and a God of wrath. And one day he's going to pour out his wrath upon this earth.
Yep.
It's going to get what's coming. It's going to be too late. If you don't know God, I highly suggest to you, know Him. You know what, tell you something? I've never regretted knowing Jesus.
Amen.
I've done a lot of foolish things in my life that I regret. And I look back in my life and I say, I wish I wouldn't do that. I tell my children all the time, especially Parker. He's older. I tell my time, son, don't make mistakes. I've made, you got the potential to be a far greater man than I ever could be. Don't do these things. But I'm going to tell you something I never did regret. That's going over at Calvary Baptist Church. Stubbornly, preacher. Went over there, I thought I had something to prove. Tim Frady and all them bunch of hypocrites picking on me. Built that church making liquor. I know they did. And they're going to pick on me and try to point a finger at me and make me their punching bag. Well, you know what? I ain't scared. I'll show up again. So went over there, and I sit back down again, my arms crossed. Go ahead and preach all you want to. I'm going to be me. Then I got stubborn about it. I don't even know about it. This is just the way the Lord works. Well, you want me to start, you want me to quit doing this and that? No, I can quit. I'll quit that. That ain't nothing. You can't tell me I have power over me. I got power. I'm the one who runs this life. I'll show you. I can quit that. I quit it. Oh, you want me to quit that? I can quit that. I quit it. Before you know it, I was living a great Christian life. I wasn't doing nothing wrong. Next thing you know, I was nervous for it. I'm like, well, nobody can do this. This ain't fair. You know? I looked around there one Sunday morning and I thought, nobody tried as hard as I did. We all do that. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
They ain't nobody. Maybe once upon a time, a long time ago, when there wasn't no internet or television, there wasn't no kind of all this other going on, maybe people can live for God. But not now. There's too much temptation out there. There's too much greed out there. There's too many cars and trucks that I want. There's too much temptation to lust and to lie and to cheat and to steal and all these things. And ain't nobody doing it. And then for the first time in my life, as if I'd never heard it before, preacher, Jim Freddy got up there and he preached, "You must be born again."
Yeah.
Jesus paid it all. I can remember what he preached, but I just know this. I understood when I left there that Sunday night that there was a debt that I owed that I couldn't pay.
Yeah.
But that Jesus paid it all.
Amen.
Hey. I asked God, I started to ask God, I said, at the time, didn't even know I was lost. As a little boy, I went to altar and asked God to save me, and I was betting on that was good enough. But I went and, you know, they said, "You want to go to hell with hope? You better come and ask God to save you." I can do that. I went and asked God to save me. Got that taken care of. You know, I remember old Carl Bishop telling me, "Son, if you're saved, you wouldn't do the things you do, you wouldn't say the things you say." I'd get so mad at him. I thank God for it now.
Yeah, amen.
For being loving me enough to tell me the truth. Amen. Yeah. He loved me enough to tell me the truth. This is the first time. I remember I asked God this, though. I said, "Lord, I don't know what need." Like I said at the time, I didn't have no theology. I didn't know nothing. For all I knew, I could lose my salvation. Or I didn't know that. You can't lose your salvation, kids, by the way.
Right.
That's something that God holds.
Yeah.
But I knew this. This God that we're seeing right here in Revelation 19, that's the one I started seeing.
Yeah.
I said, "Man, that's what I deserve."
Yeah.
I hadn't read Revelation 19. I didn't know the book of Revelation 19, preacher. But I could see that was coming my way. Because I knew I was a sinner. Because I knew that I couldn't do it on my own. Because I knew that my wickedness was going to cause me to be condemned. And I was going to go to hell.
Yeah.
And I understood it. And I knew that there wasn't nothing that I could do about it. And I was hopeless until I seen Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And when I saw that light, His glorious light, He put that light in my path. He showed me that He loved me. I didn't just see the God here in Revelation 19, the one who's just and true and righteous, and having His will, His way, His wrath poured out upon earth as it deserves. But I saw the same God that's there that says, "Come, my good and faithful servant." I saw the same one that died on the cross. I saw the same one that saved Noah when Noah found grace in his eyes. I saw the same one that clothed Adam and Eve in their animal skins. I saw the God of my salvation. I saw the one that gave his only son because he loved me.
Amen.
That I could be born again. That I didn't have to face that wrath. That I didn't have to face that judgment. That I received mercy. That I've become his child. I've become his brother. I've become one with him.
Yes.
I'd be the bride. The Lord and Savior, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. I didn't know what to say. I didn't have no magic formula. Like I said, I didn't even know it for sure. I was lost. Didn't figure that out until later on. But I went. I went to the altar. I can't even tell you the words I said, but I started telling God I was wrong. And I started telling God he is right.
Amen.
And I started telling God that if I was going to be right, he's going to have to do it.
Amen.
And all I know is that day something changed.
Amen.
And I wasn't who I used to be no more.
Yeah.
I got up there and you know what I said? I said, oh man, you know, wasn't no big deal at the time, but after some days and after some weeks and after some years, I kept noticing. And now I look back at 35 years old and I look back at my little teenage self and I say, I didn't say that. I didn't do that. Don't even seem like that's possible for me to say and do some other things. You know why? Because God's transformed me.
Yeah.
That stuff don't even make sense to me no more. Praise God, I'm glad for that.
Yeah, amen.
People say, I have friends that come to me sometimes, Preacher Billy, and you know how good God is. There's been times I've asked, I said, God, I pray that you take that from my memory. I don't even remember that no more. And there's been times that come to me, and they'll say, you remember when this happened and you done this, you said this? I say, no, I don't remember that at all, praise God.
Amen.
And I'm glad for it.
Amen. Amen.
I got enough things I remember that drag me down and keep me in the ditches long enough. I'm glad I don't remember all of it. I say, praise God. Something happened that day that changed me forever, and I ain't never regretted it.
Amen.
I ain't never been sorry for that.
Amen.
I'm glad of it. I'm glad of it. The more time goes on, the more glad of it I am.
Amen.
Amen. When times get hard, I'm glad of that. When times are good, I'm glad of that. There ain't nothing greater that's ever happened to me than God saving my soul.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Every time there's a good thing happens in my life, I think about that. How good it is to know God.
Amen.
And every time something bad happens, I think about that, how good it is to know God.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hey.
Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning. You're a Christian here that's here this morning. You've heard this message. I hope it's encouraged you. I hope it's reminded you that you're on the winning side. God has paid for it all. If you're a Christian, you're here this morning, it's encouraged you, and you're thinking right now about how short the life your life is, about how short of time we have on this earth, and how much of an impact you want to make, how you've got lost family, you've got somebody you love, you care about, that you know is not saved or you're certain is not. Why would you come and I want you to pray for me this morning? Please, would you come and pray for me this morning and say, Lord, before this time, would you save them? Before this time, would you help them to get this right? You might have a neighbor, a co-worker, a friend, whoever it is. Would you come and pray for me this morning? Lift them up to the Lord, knowing that we've got limited time. Let's be serious about it while we have life. To just pray and ask God to save them, to work in their life and in their heart. Yeah, I appreciate you coming. I'll say this, if you're here this morning, you say, I don't know, I'm not sure if I'm saved. You can't think of a time when you ever just said, God, you're right and I'm wrong. I need you to do something about it. If you know you've sinned, if you know God loves you, and that you don't have to die in your sins, but you can be forgiven, would you come ask God to forgive you this morning? And be born again. Be part of that army. Guess what? If you're saved today, right now, you will be part of that army. Amen? You will be part of that army that comes back. would you be part of that? Or would you be part of those folks? I understand this, that if God's convicted your heart this morning, if God spoke to you, and you have refused him, you said, maybe I'll do it later. Know this, the Word of God also teaches that if you have heard the gospel, and if you have believed it, and have refused and rejected Christ, that once the church is gone, that God will send a delusion to all those that have rejected him. The Bible says that they all might be damned who believe not the truth but have pleasure and unrighteousness. There's nothing on this earth worth missing heaven for. If you ask God to save you, he's faithful and just. He will do it. It's not his will that any should perish, but that all come to repentance. As I pray this morning, if God spoke to your heart, why don't you come? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. And I thank you, Lord, for the truth, God, that it brings to light in my life and in the lives of so many. Forgive me, Lord, where I fail you, my laziness, God, my lasciviousness. Forgive me, Lord, of all of my failures, Lord. I fail you so much. And I thank you, God, for paying the price for my sin, that I could be born again and I could know you. I thank you, Lord, for loving me and calling me out of darkness and giving me a path to walk on. I thank you, Lord, for this church and everyone that's here this morning. I pray, God, if there's any that's here that's lost, may you have mercy upon them, God. Lord, may you just wrestle with them, God. Lord, reveal their sin to them, their self, Lord, and reveal your son to them, God, that they might be born again. We'll praise you and thank you for it. I thank you for loving us and being good to us. Thank you for your precious word. Pray that you take it and hide it in our hearts, God. Encourage us with it in times to come. Let us be reminded, God, that, Lord, whatever enemies we face, Lord, whatever adversary, no matter how powerful, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world, Lord, it's part of your plan. We're on the winning side, and you will have the final say, for you are the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And it's by your word that everything that happens, happens, and everything that exists, exists through you and by you and for you. Let us honor and praise you and glorify you with everything we do. It's in Jesus' name, amen. 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 I appreciate y'all. Appreciate you. Let's go. Let's send this card. I'll have something else. Worry that next time. In any case, and all hearts and minds clear before dismissed.
I'd just like to say I thank God for saving me.
Amen.
I looked over as they were singing this morning, Bibi and them. My little 2-year-old granddaughter raising her hand.
Amen.
Touched my heart.
Hey.
Amen.
What a blessing that my grandkids are growing up in a Christian home.
Amen.
Amen.
That is a blessing. Amen. Amen. Can't buy that. All right. Well, nothing else. I hope you all have a good week. We will. We'll see you back here Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Remember the prayer meeting tomorrow, Avis Chapel at 7. If you're able, come join us and pray with us. You're liberty to go.